Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Always like that big intro. Big voice coming across. We like that. Lots of things going on to the show today. Ava and I are going to be hanging tight today, right?
Yeah, thankfully we'll have some help.
Yeah, exactly. Ron Scherer coming on the show today. Good friend, and I think you're going to want to stick around and listen to that. We're going to talk a little bit about MN Fish or Min Fish, some of the things that they're doing. They got a big auction coming up. Talk a little bit about that. Talking about hunters that have an undeniable branding problem, and I was very surprised when I read the article. Pretty cool stuff and good insight. So that and more when we return.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Hey, Ava, how are you doing today?
I am so good. It's Thanksgiving weekend.
It is. It's right here. How was your Thanksgiving?
Wonderful.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. You know what I've realized is when I'm doing Thanksgiving, I know what I need to take small portions of everything and find out what's really good and then go back after it.
Yeah, your second plate's a little more
strategic. It's focused. Mm-hmm. It's a focused, secondary focused plate.
I hear
you. There's a strategy behind it. And I finally, all the years of Thanksgiving, I have finally determined best methodology. I should write an article about that.
So for one of my radio shows, I started a debate over what is the best and worst Thanksgiving side dish, because people are very passionate about their Thanksgiving sides, right? And one gentleman, he actually made a very
astute?
A very smart comment. He was like, you know, it depends, because it, like, some people struggle on certain things. Like, your favorite could be stuffing, but somebody makes it wrong. Do you know what I mean? So
that's the worst Thanksgiving side.
It's when it was your favorite.
It's PD. It's preparer dependent. It's a PD meal.
Some people really do struggle though.
Oh, like, well, yeah.
Some of these things.
Okay, so stuffing, dry stuffing or moist stuffing?
I like more moist.
Same here.
Stuffing, yeah.
Absolutely. That was my chore this year, was to make stuffing for.
Oh, I always do the green bean casserole. That's easy. Let's just add cans and heat it up. You know what I mean?
What do you not forget?
The fried onions on top.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Hopefully everybody had a great Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
As well.
And it's a great weekend. It's going to be a good time. So nothing. I'm actually going skiing on Sunday, believe it or not. It's happening.
It does not surprise me.
Yeah.
With the cooler temperatures.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. Blowing snow all over the place. It's part of one of those things. So, story that I was looking for to get a kind of the lay of the land. I looked for Wisconsin reports for deer hunting to see what the report was. I haven't found any. Last weekend, I was up in the Webster area for the weekend doing some leaf cleaning up. You know, burning some leaves and whatever else, did not hear many shots, which really surprised me. And then Sunday I heard more than I did Saturday, but I'm not talking a lot And it's a definitely an area where there is hunting. So very, very surprising that I'll be interested to see how the numbers turn out for the deer harvest in Wisconsin for this season and take a look at that. So far, the deer kill in Minnesota is up from 2023. Firearms deer hunting has drawn to a close for the most part across much of Minnesota. And firearm deer hunters have killed around 111,000 deer, 5% increase from last year, which is pretty big increase.
Good news, say, yeah.
Yeah, good news compared to last year. So it's up everywhere. He said expects that when all the deer hunting seasons are over, the total harvest will see about 5% over last year's take of roughly 160,000 deer. That's a big number.
That is. I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, the northeastern portion of the state saw the largest increase. They increased by 10%, 20,000 deer. And northeast region's harvest rate will still be below the five-year mean average by 11%. Northwest is below the means by 7%. Southwest is below the mean by 2%. Central staying flat as far as the overall. One of the things I thought was kind of a caveat to this, CWD, or chronic wasting disease zones in southeastern Minnesota, they had ample opportunity to take their pick and not feel the pressure to shoot the first deer they saw. And so they had some results there. CWD around the state, no new cases of non-CWD zones. That's good.
That
so
is
we
good.
Don't have any
yeah,
expansion of that.
Right.
So far, we haven't had any of that. And 4% of the CWD testing kits were mailed via UPS, were not delivered to the DNR due to expired labels. So harvest are all season so far, hunting season, statewide harvest around 140,000, 7% decrease from last year as far as the all seasons go, not just firearm. And one of the things that I think I was a little surprised at, despite the bump in harvest this year, the participation remains lower than pre-2023 when it surpassed 400,000 people getting firearms licenses, relatively flat at 395,000. So yeah, I think overall it's kind of it's a good sign. I think the CWD thing is a good sign. One of the things I think we're going to talk about when we get Ron on from Men Fish is impressions and what does the media have in and regulations/rules/limits. What does it do to the overall feeling of people if they want to go hunting or they want to go fishing? Is it impactful to say, oh, the limits are cut to 4, I don't really want to go, it's not worth it? Or does it give the impression, hey, there's not many fish? So something to think about. The same thing holds true with the deer in Wisconsin. They've been trying to work with that too with CWD. So we'll take a look at that and talk about it with Ron. Speaking of which, hang tight, everybody. We're going to be coming back. We'll be talking with Ron Scher about Men Fish and a lot of other stuff. Stay tuned. Be right back. Thanks for hanging in there, everybody. And of course, we always like to have you guys check us out on The Valley Outdoors. And where else, Ava?
Facebook as well.
Like us, please. As always, like us, please. Check it out. Lots of cool stuff on the website and interactive links to whatever activity you want in whatever state you want to venture off to. So speaking of venturing off to, I've got to venture off with this next gentleman for many adventures and a lot of fun in a boat, for sure, with Ron Scher, good friend. And Ron, you've been around a lot. You've been doing some fishing. You've been doing a little bit of everything. How's things in your nape of the woods?
Well, that's a big question.
Hey, that's all I do is ask big questions. That's my role.
I mean,
big questions.
go different ways than with that question, but well, I didn't go deer hunting this year because all my daughters and grandson bring all the venison home, so that takes care of that. Had a nice late fall crappie fishing trip up at Osakis, and in the meantime, Eric, I'm president of an organization called Minfish, and that's been keeping us pretty busy too for as we get into the close to the legislative session.
You know, Ron, one of the things that you look at people that talk about politics, and especially in the outdoors, most of us have been feeling like you have no voice, people don't listen. Whatever state you're in, whether it's the Department of Natural Resources, if that's terminology, or whatever your state outdoor governance is, people feel like they have no voice, and it's really kind of frustrating. It's been frustrating over the past years, but that's kind of what Minfish is able to do. Am I right?
Well, yeah. Eric, I like to put it this way. One reason Minfish has been successful is we play the game that you got to play over there in St. Paul, and that is you got to hire some lobbyists or spend some time over there yourself. You have to call on legislators and explain to them what you're trying to do, have some bills introduced, explain to other legislators what those bills are and why you put them in there, and hope that they'll pass them. And the thing I tell a lot of anglers, Eric, is, I'm as guilty, and so are you. When fishermen get together, we'd rather sit around and talk about what's your favorite jig color to use to catch a walleye, blah 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 blah, and we don't pay much attention to what's going on in St. Paul, and because we don't, we're getting screwed over there. We don't even know it, and that's what's been going on for years. And to bring proof to that, two ways. The legislature hasn't appropriated any money, $0, to fish management in the state for over a decade. And I'm not talking about fishing license increases. I'm talking about using general revenue, your tax money, to help fishing in this state, fish management. They've done nothing. And you say, well, why is that? They don't listen to me. That's because you don't speak loud enough. You don't speak the right way.
So
Yep.
Well, and Ron, I have to tell you, some of the people may know this. For the fishing opener, I had the opportunity to speak to Tim Walls and Strawman. And I brought up with Strawman, I brought it up, and she's the head of the DNR fisheries and that side of the fence. And she was talking about, limits and, keeping limits the same, being able to have that. And I said, well, how, really it's important you guys are able to manage fisheries. Oh, absolutely. And I said, and really have an understanding of the fishery itself, because there are various fisheries that need, different help and whatever. Oh, and then she got caught because they want to blanket a four fish limit across the state of Minnesota. And it's exactly what you're saying. They're not spending any time. They're not spending any effort at all in developing the fisheries that we have and managing them correctly. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I saw firsthand, I'm not joking, Ron, it was appalling to me. And I asked a question the right way, so that she gave the opinion and wasn't going to pander to what she thought I was thinking. And I know Ava, we were sitting there looking at it, and we're kind of like, oh, that's how that's going. You remember that conversation we had with Strawman? It was like, what? This makes no sense.
But here's the backstory, Eric. Our DNR fishery management program has 30% fewer employees than it had 10 years ago and less money than it had 10 years ago. So in the meantime, what we anglers like to say is we want more fish management, and not realizing that you can't have more when you don't have the people to do it.
Exactly.
I was in a meeting a few months ago. that's one thing that MinFish has been able to do. Because we got $98 million to help fix up our fish hatcheries and boat accesses, and DNR tried to do that for years with no success, because we were successful using lobbyists. When we want a meeting, we get it. And so, but at the meeting, they stood up and said they're going to have, they have fish regions, you know, regional offices. They said, we're going to do 2 creel surveys per region this year.
Oh.
Two per region. I go, hell, that means it'd take you 50 years to get around to all the lakes. And the reason they can only do 2, well, it is ridiculous, but they don't have any people to do it anymore. They don't have them. So, I mean, that's the data. That's the facts. And the reason they don't, here's another one, Eric. You got to hear this. So I didn't hear it firsthand, but one of our lobbyists told us. So they go around, they get 15 minutes with every legislator, and they're talking about money for fish hatcheries. So they go into this one St. Paul legislator's office and tell them, hey, we'd like to have you support more money to fix up our fish hatcheries, blah, 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 blah. Most of them are, you know, need a lot of work. And the legislator looks puzzled and says, what is a fish hatchery?
Oh, no.
So, well, yeah, here's the lesson, Eric. You and I, we talk, we think everybody knows fish lingo. They don't. And if you surveyed the legislators of how many of you fish, you'd find that over the years, fewer and fewer and fewer of them fish.
You know, but Ron, here's the sad part that goes along with that. Consider the state and the economic impact fishing has on the state of Minnesota, whether it's a production of a let's say it's clam. Clam manufactures products in the state of Minnesota. Then you look to the secondary. You look at the dealerships that sell tackle, bait. You look at boats that are being sold. You look at all the things that are adding up and are part of the fishing industry and the economic impact. Would you not think? Would you not? Of course, let me not ask that question. Would it not be apparent that that would be a really big thing to know because your constituents fish in Minnesota? I mean, does that make sense?
Of course it makes sense. Fishing is a $4.4 billion economic engine in the state. You would think our legislators would know about that. They don't. They don't know the impact of hunting. They might know the impact of the Vikings, but they don't know the impact of fishing. And one reason for that is we've been sitting on our hands. That's the lesson here. So if you want them to know, you have to get, I mean, you know, Governor Walz, DNR Commissioner Stroman brought him to one of our MinFish meetings, so I got to introduce him, but before I introduced him, I was talking about the fish, the $4.4 billion, and the legislature were not investing in that. He heard that message, and he said, you're absolutely right. If we're going to have maintain our fishing, we have to invest in it. And then in his budget, he helped us get that $98 million, or we never would have probably got it. But so that you got, it's just a matter of, we can't sit on our thumbs anymore, Eric.
No. Well, it takes a group effort. Number one, MinFish, you guys have been doing this for a while, Ron. You and I have talked about this forever. I love contributing to MinFish and did a guided trip for a guy that donated money to have a raffle offer, an auction piece that was for a fishing trip. And you guys are, it's amazing what you guys are able to do, but it needs to also go to your particular area, whatever politician that you have in proximity to you, and talk about what you want in your area and make sure you just raise your voice on the fishing side of it, because fishing is something you will do and we all do and we love it and it is changing, and we need to have the money to understand why, how, and what we need to do to increase or maintain the quality of the fishing that we have and improve it. As a matter of fact, is another piece of the puzzle. So, it's frustrating, and I'm glad you guys are taking the baton, I guess, is the best way to put it, and carrying it to the finish line. So,
all fishermen can get involved, and I'm encouraging them to. You could join MNFISH. You can go to our website, mn-fish.com. And Eric, we forgot to mention, underway right now, we have a big fundraiser, the world's greatest ice fishing online auctions going on right now. And lots of neat things there that people can bid on, open bidding, and it's get all that information at our website, mn-fish.com.
Yeah, and remember, you could sign up to be a member of MNFISH. It supports the efforts that they are going through, as well as the auction does that as well. It's such a absolutely cool thing. I've got to tell you, it is worth every penny. You guys, the money goes right where it's supposed to, and it does support what we're talking about in the fishing side of it. And speaking of fishing, Ron, we'll come back to highlight the auction one more time before we separate. We got about 5 minutes. We've got time to chit chat. The state of Minnesota was looking at going across the board with a 4-fish limit. And
yes.
So you had one, the Walleye Alliance, they're all excited about this 4-fish limit. It's the greatest thing ever. And so I started looking into this, Ron. Do you know how many, the percentage of anglers that go out and are able to get even a half a limit in a day?
Very few.
Very few. Very few. And when you look at the decreasing the 4-fish, and I read something, a comment that you made, and this is one of the things I headed off at the top of the show, kind of set the table with it. We look at setting limits, and limits are, in a way, self-fulfilling in what it's doing to participation. And I think you probably agree with me on that. When you're looking at decreasing participation in hunting, decreasing participation in fishing, it all has to do a lot with what is the optic that we put out there, and how are we best to change that optic? And I think the optic piece is you're decreasing the limits when people aren't even getting 6 fish. It's not happening. It's not.
Yeah, I know. So, well, it's interesting. You know, the 6-fish walleye limit is like 70 years old, I
absolutely.
Think. Absolutely. And it had no biological foundation. It was just a number they picked. Before that, it was 10, I believe.
Yep.
10 walleye. Some people thought, well, that's too many. Maybe they sensed that the walleye, it was harder to get 10. So they said, we're maybe taking too many, so let's make it 6. And now DNR has played with this 4 walleye thing for some time. It was the legislator from Brainerd that was pushing it. She retired and didn't go anywhere. And now suddenly DNR says, hey, we're going to try going with a 4-fish limit. Again, there's no biology behind that.
No.
And for DNR to do it, now they have to hold hearings around the state, and they have to prove that they're doing it because of some biological information, which they don't have any.
No. Nope.
So I don't know where this is going. One thing it does is tells a lot of people, oh, it used to be 6, now it's 4, so Minnesota walleye fishing is probably getting worse, which is not true.
No.
You know what I mean?
It's not.
On the other side, though, there are some lakes that when they get hot, and you know how word can spread, Eric,
when
a bite gets hot, then the word spreads through social media, and the next thing you know, you got, instead of 5 boats there, you have 500 boats there yanking out walleyes, and there maybe a 4 walleye limit might be a good thing. But
I don't know. If you look at the aggregates and the optic, again, I'll come back to it. The optic is that's the case, and people are like, 4 fish, it's not really worth the trip. I'll go to North Dakota, or I'll go to wherever. And it happened with SS this year. We had a resort that canceled the reservations. We didn't know it, up at Lake of the Woods, and we ended up going to North Dakota. And we were going to go to Mille Lacs, but 1 fish, that's it, or no fish. And we like to have a group to eat. Doesn't work. So
yeah, although some people will say, well, Canada's limits for non-residents or for Americans is even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yet we clamor to go to Canada. So
trophy fishing,
knows?
You know, that's part of it. But so let's get back to real quick, Ron. MenFish, you can sign up. You can be a member of MenFish, support the total actions you guys have going on, and of course check out the what is the actual title to the auction?
Well, it's the world's greatest.
I mean, world's greatest. It doesn't get any better than that. I love it.
World's greatest ice fishing online auction. And go to mn-fish.com and start bidding. Merrick, you got more money than you need anyway, so you should start bidding.
Hey, I provide the trips. I'll do that. I have no problem with that. And the people that enjoy them and spend time with them, I really enjoy time with them as well. And you guys are doing a great job, Ron. I got to tell you. I appreciate it.
I got quite a board of directors, 19 board of directors, and everybody's chips in. So there you go.
You guys are all pulling in the same direction, Ron. We certainly appreciate you taking the time. Ron, thank you again. We'll have you on again. As always, I hope you enjoy, and we will be talking with you soon.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks
you
for
bet.
Having me.
You bet. Bye-bye. Well, you guys, Ron Shera, great guy and a good friend. Lots of time spent in the boat with him. Actually got the opportunity, believe it or not, to show him how to hold up a walleye for a photograph. It was the best part ever. Well, tell you what, this is the wrap-up of the show. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you have a good outdoor time this weekend, and enjoy. For the Valley Outdoors, I'm Eric and Ava. We are out.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.